All right, now, we got a 1, 2, 3 dimensional thing here that all of us by now are probably real familiar with. A 1, 2, 3. And I hope that we are familiar with it, because when we get this basically speaking in our minds, well, we're really set to do something for God then. See, here's the thing, folks. I'm trying to relate to you what little I know. There's a lot to be got. A lot to be got. But if I can give you the basic principles of what God has shared with me, well, look how fast you can go. Can you imagine, out of all the, well, we got 100 or so tapes, out of all of those things that I tried to put a little bit here and a little bit there, can you imagine what this was like when God started giving it to me? Can you imagine what it was like? Like scramble up noodles. I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. I knew there was something in there that was of interest, but I couldn't tell which went where or how it got there or who gave it to me or what. And it took many long years for him to ever straighten it out of my mind. That's right. That's the reason I ain't no good physically now. But he did finally straighten it out in my mind. That's the truth before God. He finally did straighten it out in my mind. Now then, if I had had somebody to taught me this like this to begin with, and I'm sure that some people might probably have known it long before I ever got it, but if I'd have had somebody to have done that for me, now look where I could be with God now. Now, if you get this and you get the basic fundamentals, well, you ought to be 10 times as far along with God as I am by the time the Lord Jesus called you. This right here, basically speaking, is basic principles of revelation. These things we just about got to have if we're really going to have God to speak to us. Now, what I'm trying to say is this, folks. The Lord Jesus speaks to us all the time. Isn't that right? He's always speaking to us, Brother Jim. But the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. That is, we understand it. We know it. But the thing is, well, I say we understand it. We know it. Let me kind of stop here. We know it. But now that's the trouble. Do we understand it? Do we understand it? A lot of times God speaks to us and we don't understand it. Job said God speaks to us many times, but we don't understand, Job said. Now, see, but here's the thing. If we understand God's terminology, for instance, I might go, Brother Steve, over here in Africa somewhere, and somebody might come running up to me and say, oh, gug, 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 gug. And I might think he's saying, I love you, and he might be ready to kill me. See, but if I can understand his language, if I can ever get an understanding of his language, well, I'll be all right then. I won't violate his laws, and I won't do nothing to cause him to jump on me. I just get acquainted with his way of living and learn how to communicate with him, and we'll get along pretty good. Now, that's why that down in Mexico we use the system we do. There's one thing that everybody understands, and that is when they're hungry, they understand that food, when you give them something to eat. And when they're cold, you give them something to keep them warm, well, they understand it. That's why we work that way through the Mexican people. I didn't know how to talk their language, but I did know how to get to their heart. And that's the way God works. The Bible said, surely the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And some of you people that would like to see me do better, treat me better, well, I'd be a whole lot better. Amen, that's right. So you overcome evil with good. Now, if you want to make somebody better, well, just see how good you can be to them. And it'll get better. So then we got terminology here of expression, we'll say. We got a godly terminology of expression. If I can learn that God is one God, and yet for some divine reason, he expresses himself in a threefold measure, and then if I learn that, and I see that everything is God in the veil and manifested in a threefold measure, then by the time I could kind of comprehend what he's saying to me. God will speak to you in the trees. How many of you believe that? Amen. Brother Branham said God spoke to him in the trees. God will speak to you in a burning bush. How many believe that? God can speak to you in a dove. And of course, if you get rebellious, he can speak to you in a donkey. Why do you think he spoke to Balaam and a donkey? Yeah, if Balaam had really known what God was doing, he'd probably really felt insulted. In other words, God was more or less saying, Balaam, you're a donkey. You're a donkey supposed to be the hard-headed thing there is. Stubborn. And he said, babe, you're just like that donkey. He's got more sense than you have. That's right. And the donkey actually showed more sense than Balaam did. Now, I preached this, and I really believe it. The donkey had more understanding than Balaam did. He had more spiritual insight than Balaam did, because he saw God and wouldn't go, and Balaam was fussing, and then got so beside himself he was talking to a donkey and didn't even know it. And the donkey talking back to him and he didn't even know it. Now, a fellow has to be in a pretty big rage, and him a prophet, and then got so upset that he didn't even know that a donkey was talking to him. That would have been enough to have scared me to death if a donkey ever spoke to me. I left the donkey. I would have. That would be one place we parted company. If a donkey spoke to me, I know something was going wrong. But he didn't have enough sense to know the donkey was talking to him. But the Bible said the donkey was. Now then, let's look at this and see if we can get a hold of the knowledge of God, or the means by which God expresses himself. I don't want God to have to speak to me through a donkey. So let's see if we can't get a hold of this and learn the way that God expresses himself. And then when God speaks to us, well, we will understand. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, how does God speak to us? Well, a lot of times we use the expression, it dawned on me. Somebody said, well, why do you want to know how God speaks to you? Well, how many of you love to be able to perceive people's thoughts in your spirit? Let me see. How many of you would love for God to be able to speak to you and tell you what a man's done in his lifetime and is going to do in those things like he did to Brother Branham and Peter and Paul and John and James? How many would like for him to do that in the church? Well, you say he could never do that. Sure, he's doing it every day, but you just don't get it. Job says he's doing it all the time to you, but you don't understand it. You don't get it, but you're supposed to. And so how does God speak to you, Brother Pike? You use a terminology, you say, it dawned on me. It suddenly dawned on me. I said, Brother Steve, how do you know that? Oh, he said, I just know it. I said, but how do you know it? I don't know how I know it, but I know it. I said, but do you know that it's true? I just know that it's true. Now somebody said, well, you couldn't do that. But the Bible said you shall know the truth. They say, what is the truth? The truth is the Spirit of God. Is that right? Truth is the voice or the expression of God, whether it be in word or in deed, do all in truth. So then God is the Spirit of truth, and his vocal expression is through a human being, or his image expression is through a human being, the activities, unless he uses a tree or something, in a whirlwind or something. But it always is an expression of truth. That's the voice of God. Now, it's an expression of truth. You say, well, that don't tell me nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, you're in bad shape if that don't tell you nothing. Now, if you claim to be a Christian and you don't know the difference between truth and between that which is not truth, you're in pretty bad shape. The Bible said the meat, that is the great things of God, is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. The first thing that God does is train us like little children. That's why he lets us shout and skip rope and shoot marbles and all these things and tithes. Because we're just little children, that's all we are, trying to develop the mind of our parent, trying to grow up in a mature mind. We might get something sporadically speaking, a little bit over here and a little bit over there, but we can't put it together because we're just little folks in our mind. But you can't tell the church that. You tell a little folk that he's a little folk. It's like my David. He thinks he's as big as I am and knows about two or three times as much. Now you just convince him that he don't know what he ought to know. And he'll puff and pout and stick his lips out and slam the doors and anything that you let him get by with. Now he'll do it. Nevertheless, that's where we are, people. We're trying to come into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus. We're not near so big as we think we are. I'm just about so high. Like Bob Wells, fine brother in Christ, and he just started off like he was on a rocket ship, and he soared up to the moon, so to speak, and after a while he ran into some meteorites or something, and it knocked him all the way back down. And I met him over in the Carolinas, and he'd done come in and set me down in my services, and I don't know where all it happened, but I met him over in the Carolinas. He come to me and said, Brother Pike, said, I've been wrong. He wasn't great big like he thought he was in his mind. And he said to me, he said, I'll tell you. He said, if I was standing under a board that was laying on the ground, he said, I'm so little I'd have to tiptoe to touch it. See, he had changed his mind. I think that's a wonderful brother. I'll tell you, when a man takes that kind of attitude, that makes me feel, if he's that small, there's no telling how little I am. That's right. So I'll tell you, I really admire that kind of talk. Now, he got off on the wrong foot, but he must have been a great man to turn around and acknowledge it. So I praise God, Brother Tom, for people like that. People like that can go somewhere with God. Now, Brother Bob is just one of the few that I met that did that, and Brother Bob, one of the very few that I ever seen turn around and admit it. Most of them just keep going. Well, like I said, he didn't know how little I was. If he had, he probably wouldn't even talk to me like that. But I praise God for that. We are just little folks in God, but we're trying to grow into the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you think you're so big, well, that means you're smaller than anybody. And when you think you're so little, well, you don't tell how big you are. Now, a fellow's big in his own eyes is smaller than anybody else. That's the Bible. He that exalteth himself, you say, how do you exalt yourself? By thinking of what you are in your carnal mind. And the Bible said they're vainly puffed up. A fellow gave a good expression one time about his mother using leaven. You know, leaven represents evil in the Bible, you know. And he said his mother on an old wooden cook stove, she'd make up her biscuits and she'd put leaven in them and leave them on the outside of the stove for just a few minutes, and said all of a sudden, said it began to blow up. Said he had to get them in the oven as fast as she could, or it'd blow right up into the ceiling. And that's the way people are. They get to thinking of something, and then they get all puffed up. If you don't stop them, well, they just blow slap up. That's right, and make a mess in the church. Now, when we think we're something, then the Bible teaches we're nothing. But when we do like Jesus, when we come along and say, let me wash your feet. Somebody said, well, Jesus did that because they believed in foot washing. I know they believed in foot washing, but it wasn't a ritual. Abraham washed them men's feet back there because their feet was dirty. Jesus come along and washed the disciples' feet. I feel an old spirit now. I don't like what I'm saying. It makes them too little. Makes them have to get on with the rest of them, and they don't like it. I showed you all out of sorts. Now then, we're growing up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Up into the Lord. Somebody said, well, I perceive you talking about me. Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Jesus and God's people. The Bible said, where I stand and where I stand all, that's you too. Amen. As Brother Branham said, we'll nail the board on so the wind won't get it off. Well, bless God, it won't come back no more. Well, nobody didn't tell you come this time. You come because you want to. If you got a puffed up spirit, it makes a little difference whether you ever come back or not. If you don't love God enough to get straightened out, you're better off if you don't. Now, I have no respect to persons. As far as I'm concerned, one of you looks just like the other to me. But one thing I've had in my mind from the time that I'm married, I made my mind up to this. Maybe you've never thought like that. Maybe you have. But I made my mind up. I said, God, by your help, I'll never have respect to my children. Every one of my children is going to be alike to me, and I've stood by that. I don't have one child in the family that I think is any better than the other. And I'm the same way with the spiritual children. I don't care what you think you are. I don't care what you said you are. I don't care what you've done. You look just exactly like another to me. And not only that, but when you look in my dead face, it'll be the same. I don't intend to change it. Never. Now, I praise God for that because that's Jesus without respect to person. Now, when a person hears me with love and understanding and a sweet spirit, I know they got something. If they don't, I know they ain't got nothing. As Brother Lamar said the other night, their deeds talk so loud I can't hear a word they're saying. So then, we are trying to grow up. We're little bitty folks. But we're trying to grow up into the stature of the great God. He's a great big God. We're little bitty people. He's a great wonderful something, and we're nothing. Filthy rags. Daniel, the beloved man of God that fasted so much, prayed so much, when he got before God, he just said, "Father, to us belongs confusion of faces, so that's all we're good for." Paul, the apostle of God, the greatest man or one of the greatest that ever walked the earth, he said, "I'm chief of sinners and less than the least." And finally, when he thought it over, Brother Steve, he said, "I'm less than nothing." So you see how little we are. I said, if he was that little, you can tell how little I am. You couldn't even find me under a microscope. So I praise God tonight. Now then, we are trying to grow up in Jesus. We're trying to be like the Lord. Most people, when you think about being like God, the first thing they think great is you got to be some big something. They think you got to be some great big something, Brother Taylor. But to be like Jesus, time you got to be humble, submissive, sweet, tender, get weighed down, and serve your fellow man. Glory to God, I feel good, don't you? Amen. Now then, we want to develop the mind of the Lord Jesus. I don't care what you do, brethren. You can see visions. You can be Elijah. You can be Paul. I don't care. I pray for you that God will make you all them things. But we got a higher calling than that. I said, we got a higher calling. Amen. You can be any one of those. Amen. You'll be Brother Roberts. I see people want to be Brother Branham, Brother Roberts, Brother Allen, Brother Osmond. I see them that want to be that. They preach like them, act like them, do like them. But I've got news for you. I got something better than all of that. Amen. You can be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You can be God in the earth. Amen. I don't care if you see visions. That's good. Paul said, "I doubtless shall come to visions and revelations." I doubtless shall do that, Paul said. And he already had abundance of revelation. But now I'll tell you what, when I'm praying that God will do you like that, I'm praying God will do me like that too. Amen. I don't care how many visions you see, but I want Him to let me see some. That's right. Amen. Praise God. I don't care how much revelation you get, let it, as long as you give me some too. Amen. You can have all the turkey you want and all the pie, but I want some too. Amen. I believe there's enough for everybody. How about you? Praise God. So then, if you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said, "What my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you." That's everything. And He said, "Whatever I am, that's what you are." Whatever God poured in Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that was everything, He poured it into the church. So we're everything in Christ, and we're nothing without Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, the thing that I loved about Jesus, and this is what I try to get over to you, brethren, not to hurt you, but to help you, is the Bible said Jesus was made like unto His brethren in all things. He never wanted to be different from His brethren. He never wanted to have the preeminence. When the brethren came over there and some of them said, "We want to set the right hand and the left hand," He told them, He said, "That's not the right spirit. That's not the right attitude. But be made like unto your brethren in all things." Well, He could have come down riding on a white stallion, and one day He is. He could have come down riding on a white stallion, had on a gold crown. My, He could have come down as God Himself and had the preeminence over everybody, but He didn't want to do that. He come down and said, "Well, if you're born over here in a little shack, well, I'll just be born in a manger." That's right. Hallelujah. If you'll share your food with somebody, well, I'll do better than that. I'll wash your feet. See, that's what I mean. Now, to me, that's great, folks. That's great. Now, somebody said, well, I wonder what kind of fellow Abraham was. That's the kind of fellow he was. When the people come over there, he never got his spirit of suspicion all in here, you know, and said, oh, I wonder where these folks are from. It's probably a bunch of robbers trying to catch me off guard. No, he didn't do that. But he thought, well, praise God. Hope all things, believe all things. There must be somebody sent from God. Sir, go bake some cakes. Young man, go get a calf. He said, give me some water. Come on, fellas, let me wash them tired, hot, weary feet. Isn't that a difference from the world today? Well, I praise God for that. Hallelujah. I praise God for men like Abraham and Paul. There's much I could say about them, but if I did, I wouldn't get to say this. But now, listen, folks. These things that we're looking at tonight are just a few little fragments of what I understand that I'm trying to share with you. But if we can comprehend what God is, and He is a Spirit according to John 4:24, and how that God talks, the way that He expresses Himself to us, then we can just talk to Him like Abraham and Elijah did. Well, we get to say, well, we think in our mind, you know, say, well, how could we ever do what Elijah did? How could we ever do that? But James, in trying to tell the church what they could do, he said Elias was a man of like passion, is same as you and I. James said, brethren, don't get to thinking that Elijah was some special souped up sort of a thing out there that was extraordinary and mysterious that nobody couldn't touch. He said, if you do, you'll never be able to work the works of God. But he said he was just a common feller. Said he was a man just like you and I. Spirits of lust moved over him. Of course, you fellas never have had nothing like it, haven't you? I'll guess. But I am. Amen. My wife will say amen. Now, I've had spirits of covetousness, Brother Atlee, to move over me. I've had them to move over me. Of course, probably y'all never bothered anything like that. But I do. I have spirits. Sometimes spirits of hatred move over me. Spirits of envy and spirits of malice and spirits of rebellion. Spirits of hardiness. Spirits of unconcern. Spirits of laziness. Spirits of lethargy. I had all of these things to move over me. Spirits of insanity. Spirits of cancer. Spirits of TB. All of these things. I've encountered these things as they moved over me. But I praise God because on the inside I got the victory that overcometh the world. The faith in His Word. Hallelujah. None of these things move me, Paul said. None of these things defile me because I'm clean by His Word. I'm predestinated and sealed. All of these things happen to me, but God keeps me pure. God keeps me secure. Hallelujah. I don't want them to happen to me, but they do. Like Brother Branham said, he used to carry a little cross around his neck. He always had the idea that the Catholic Church didn't have a monopoly on the cross. So he carried it around his neck. And he said, every time I see a woman and she's not right, said something moves over me. He said, I just reach up and get that little cross. I don't know what that did, but it must have been a way of in remembrance of the cross. Praise the Lord. I praise God for that, don't you? In other words, what I'm trying to say is there's a way to understand God. There's a way to know God. There's a way to talk with God, commune with God. These fragments that I have here that God was so kind to give me, I'm like the dog. I just get crumbs. But I thank God for it. I praise God for it. I do. But these things, the reason I got them is because I know how to talk with Him. I can talk with Him. I can commune with Him. He'll tell me something and I know what He's saying. Oh, you say you don't know. Well, does it make sense or does it make sense?
Praise God, amen.
Then I must do know.
Amen.
I must do know.
Amen.
So I praise God for it. I've been able to talk with him, learn his language and talk with him. Spent many years trying hard to understand the Lord. Not because I'm smart. The writer said I'm not smart and I'm not strong and many things I've done wrong. That's right. So I'm not smart, but these things comes to the foolish. I got them because I'm a foolish thing. The foolish and abased things God's chosen to confound the wise. A lot of people, they're great and smart and wise and can do anything. I'm dumb and unlearned and can't do nothing. That's why he gave them to me. Because I'm a foolish thing. He revealed it unto babes. I'm not a great person. I'm just a little old babe. That's why I got them. I praise God for it. But the expression of God, and I'm going to try to move on here in just a minute. There's a lot of things I want to say tonight, and I'll be took up all my time saying these. But we start off shouting and jumping and hollering and running and playing and having a good time in the Spirit. And that's wonderful. And we boast about great things, you know. You know, a little child, he's make-believe, he's Superman, and he's this and he's that, and can't even get off the ground. Well, that's the way I've been. Of course, you may never been like that, but I have. And we're growing up into the Lord Jesus. Growing up. The church is growing up. It was born in a manger, a little old bitty babe, and it started growing up. And it's growing up. And it's made big boasts, as you know. But the truth is, you always have to run back to Big Brother, don't you? I made a lot of boasts, Steve, but when the devil got at me, I began to look for Jesus. I tell the devil what I'd do for him till he get at me. And I run to my big brother. That's right, I'm telling you, it's like it is. I thought I was doing pretty good till he got at me. But when I get behind Jesus, I get close to him, I don't run no more. I take courage. Well, we're all growing up into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus. The church has boasted big things about opening blind eyes and stopping deaf ears and making the lame to walk, but they haven't done much of that. The truth is they haven't done much of it. I say, well, I think they've done an awful lot. Well, if they have done an awful lot of it, why isn't the world turned upside down? Peter just worked one miracle, a man about 40 years old. He made him get up right there, and he was healed, and it caused a revival through the whole city. Now somebody said, well, I've just had all kind of miracles. God has just done this and done that and done thus and done so. But where is all the great revival if God did that? Somebody said, but don't you know what I've done and what God's done for me? Well, if God did it, where's all the multitudes of followers? Well, you said they just didn't, well, they just didn't see it. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. I never believe that. I tell you what. Take Donald over here in the wheelchair. He's a noted case. I was talking to him today. I believe God will heal the boy. Bring him over here and set him right here and God heal him. And let him get up and see if there's a stir through Monroe. See if anybody's talking about it. See if anything happens. See if anything happens over here at Mount Vernon Church. That's just one miracle. So you see, folks ain't doing all those things. They're not doing it. Ain't no need of kidding yourself. They're not doing it. Even the fact that some of them makes out like they're doing it causes the tents to fill up. That's right. That's right. Oh, you say they're not making believe. I know some of them's making believe. But I've been there and seen it. That's exactly right. There's my sister sitting back there that got her leg. I remember when she's a little girl and her sitting down, it's a little old bitty toddler like one of these sitting on the edge of the porch and got her knee cut here with a hole and somebody was digging out there for worms or whatever they was digging around there. Took her under a tent and set up there. It caused one of her legs to be shorter than the other. Set up there and took her leg. I wasn't there when it happened, but they told me it happened that way. Pulled the leg out and said, look at the great miracle. Now I understand her legs is like it was to start with. But the people hollered and the crowd was there. Now, so what is that, Brother Pride? You want to tell you what it is? It's a lying sign and a lying wonder. Because it didn't happen. If it happened, it's not a lying sign and wonder. But if it didn't happen, it is a lying sign and a lying wonder. And when you tell these people all these things and do all these things and it don't happen, it's lying signs and wonders. You're lying. But brother, when it happens, I'll guarantee you something takes place. Look at Brother Branham. The gift of God in his life. What did it do? Somebody said, well, what did it do? It never done anything except stirred the whole world. That's all it done. Preached around the world 3 times, and he said just about every country, major country in the world, wanted him to come preach. That's all it done. You understand what I'm saying? That's God. That's God. That's why I say I'm so little. I'm way down here. Now, if we'll quit measuring ourselves by ourselves and start measuring ourselves by God, then we'll find out where we're living. But if you're sincere, don't think of yourself more highly, Paul said, you ought to. Think soberly according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto you. You say, Brother Pike, how can I think of myself more highly than I ought to? By thinking you're something when you're not something, you deceive yourself, the Bible said. I'm just preaching the Bible to you. That's all. I'm telling you what God said. What you got to do to get to heaven. If you resent it, you won't go to heaven. You think, but I believe I'm going to heaven. Well, you still ain't going to heaven. I don't care what you believe. You believe a lie and be damned. The Bible said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. But think of yourself soberly. Or what is soberly? He said, be sober. Thine adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, he said. Be sober in your mind. Think of yourself according to the measure of faith that's been dealt unto you. All right, what kind of measure of faith have you got? Well, if you can pull a dollar out of that wheelchair, that's your measure of faith. If you can't pull him out of the wheelchair, well, that's your measure of faith. If you can open the man's blind eyes, that's your measure of faith. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. Somebody said, well, how would you think of yourself? If you can give the man back his sight, that's the way to think of yourself. Amen. Say, praise God, I can give him back his sight.
Thank you, Lord.
That's your measure of faith. You can boast in it, it's all right. Because you can do it. Paul said, but let it be proven and then boast in it. For a man that boasts himself of a gift, a false gift, is like a well without any water. When time comes for thirsty folks to drink, it ain't nothing to give them. So that I can think of myself more highly than I ought to. But I want to think soberly of myself according to the measure of faith. But see, in the super duper age that we're living in, if you think of yourself sober, then nobody wants to listen to you. You better make yourself a super duper and advertise all over the world and televisions and everything else, miracles and this and that. Because nobody don't want to hear you. It's the day of advertisement. Like Brother Branham said again, one time he's watching television and said he's advertising some kind of super-duper soap such. So he got them. He thought, well, let's just make my wife fall head over heels in love with me. So he took them home and said when he got them home, it didn't work that way. Said he got so upset, so he told me how to take it off of television. As a matter of fact, he got so upset, he told me how to get rid of the television too. So that's what I'm talking about. False advertisement. I know folks say a lot of good things about me. If I could live up to it, well, I'd feel pretty good. And the third that I feel like I might live up to, well, when my wife gets through with me, I didn't feel that much. Amen. Well, do you understand what I'm saying? Am I telling you the Bible? I might tell it to you in a countrified way, and it might not be like it would be if you had a city orator up here, but anyway, I'm telling you the way I understand it. So here's a 1, 2, 3 of the expression of God according to what I understand. And I praise the Lord Jesus that I'm beginning to understand. And if we had a little more time tonight, I would express to you the way that I understand His voice. And you might be interested in it. Some of you might not, but some of you might. I do say one thing, it has done something for me. It's fed me when I was hungry. It's took my wife and my little folks across the country and on Maypop ties. And He's really done something for me. Praise God. And I just sometimes I get to talking, you know, and I just want to so bad to take the intricate things that Jesus has shared with me. But then maybe I feel a spirit of puffed up or a spirit of resentment and all kind of things. And I think, well, what's the use? I just go ahead and maybe the ones that God really wants to know and the ones that's interested, well, they'll drop by the trailer at the right time anyway. But I would love to tell it to the church in these things. So then the 1, 2, 3 that we see here is a formulated expression, children of God, of the Lord's voice. We know His voice. We know it. We know it. You don't have to be anybody special for God to speak to you. See, what I'm trying to get across to you is to get away from all of the special stuff. It's lying vanities. It's Satan. It's a mind that's vainly puffed up. Get away from it. It's the devil. Stay away from it. Because you don't have to be special. Elias was a man that was of like passion, the same as you and I. This is what I want you to get a hold of. He was a common, down-to-earth feller. Just like Brother Jimmy, a common, down-to-earth feller. That's all that Elijah was. Didn't have near as many suits as Jimmy's got. Didn't have a new truck. He just a down-to-earth feller. But you know why God heard him? It wasn't because he was a great something. That's what the writer was trying to get across. The writer was trying his best to get you to see that those men wasn't no special outstanding men that had to preach for the full gospel businessmen. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you don't have to be special. I believe the writer, what he was trying to say, really, was that he wanted us to know, you know, that this thing wasn't no big, souped up something that was so mysterious that you couldn't understand it. I believe in the mysteries of God. You hear me over and over say, the mysteries of God, the great mysteries of God, those kind of things. But see, God doesn't want you to think that it's so mysterious you can't get a hold of it and you have to be some great fellow that's gone to seminary or some great fellow that's discovered a gold mine or some great orator that knows just exactly how to express his words or move his hands right, you know, the right way and all these things they teach you in seminary. You don't have to be that kind of thing. Nowadays, you got to be an ex-baseball player. You got to be an ex-movie star, you know, to really be a hit with the people in the church. But that's not right. God don't want you to be that. So the writer said Elijah, or Elias, was a man of like passion just like you and I. He's just a common feller. He had the same problems, like passions. That is, he got upset. Somebody said, well, now Elijah never got upset. Yes, he did too. He got upset over it. He got so aggravated one time. He said, God said, let fire come down out of heaven and get that fellow in his 50. Did he do that? Amen. And he still wasn't satisfied. When the next crew come, he said, let it get that 52. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when the next group come, he had respect to the prophet. He didn't come up there and say, and the king said, such and such and such. He come up and he fell down on his face and said, my Lord, have mercy. He approached him in a different way.
All right, amen.
Now, and then the writer said, the common salvation. So I write unto you about a common salvation. The common people heard him gladly.
Amen.
Common salvation. See, this is a common. Brother Jerry, this is a simple down-to-earth thing that an old fisherman can get a hold of. And that's what the Lord wanted us to know, that it's a common thing. And when we understand that we don't have to be special, that we just a common down-to-earth feller, well, then we feel good. We begin to get straightened out. We begin to get our minds straightened out. I've been through all of this other that I'm talking about. I've been through all them stages. That's the adolescent stage. But then when you really begin to see God, you realize how little you are, folks. Paul thought he was really something. Persecuting Christians, throwing them in jail. He couldn't touch his life as a Pharisee, was without blame. And then when he got to seeing God, he found out he wasn't nothing. I thought I was pretty good till I met God. And I found out I wasn't nothing. Wasn't nothing. So then I'm just saying these things. A lot of times I pick up different ones spirits. But I want to show you how wrong you are now in love. Somebody say, talking about me. my hand be raised to the great God of heaven whom I have to stand before. I pick up your spirit when you think that, when God knows I hadn't even given it a thought as far as speaking to you. That shows how little you are in God to think such a thing. Then when I feel your spirits rise up, I have to say something then. Because you're out of sauce and you're into the anointing. See, so it don't pay to do those things. It pays to get some discernment and know. Somebody said, well, I've got discernment. That's suspicion. That's not discernment. What is discerning? The Bible said being able to discern between the good and the evil. What's right and what's wrong. See, the old judge told me the other day when he gave his heart to God, said, sometimes I have trouble with my discernment. I guess we all do. But I try to keep it common to let you know that every one of you can have it. Every one of you can have it. Don't ever think that Brother Pike thinks that he's got it and you can't get it. You ought to be way out ahead of me, and you can be. You can be. You can be. No question about you can be. You say, well, I'd love to be like Brother Branham. You should be way ahead of William Branham. No. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The ones that go in the rapture, if they don't get further along than that, I'm afraid they won't make it. I say, well, don't you believe Brother Branham would have made it? I do in his day. But we're about 6 or 7 years on this side of Brother Branham now. You say, you believe there's going to be more required of a man here than it was of William Branham? I definitely do. I definitely do. Now, so then, I praise God for that. I really praise God for that. But there's going to be more required of us than it was alive. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It will take more to get men than it did Elijah. I used to say that, Brother Pike, I can't believe that. But I'll tell you what, if you don't believe it, Elijah never was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you just try to go without being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and see. No record where Elijah ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you try to go without receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. How does it make sense? Amen. It's just going to do it, folks. Now, so then, these three things here and these things that I'm teaching and the many other things is nothing more than a vocal expression of God. That's all in the world it is. It's God's voice. It's God's voice to you in the earth. That's all it is. All of these things is God's voice to you. Now we've got these three things here, and we're not going to get to say much tonight after saying all this other. But there is some things that I want to get to before the teachings close that I know in my heart that will thrill your soul and you'll want it. I know it will because it did mine when I got it. And I know that it's something that the church needs. But just relating a little bit of this. Now, there's three dimensional steps here that we got in concerning the holies of holies in Washington, D.C., and the inner courts of the United States and the outer courts of the United Nations. And then we spoke of China that recently come into this confederation of states and how that China represents the dragon nation. Now, some of you brethren remember a number of years ago I said that the Pope of Rome was a symbol of the man-child. There has to be a natural symbol, a physical symbol, and so forth. A religious symbol. He is a religious symbol from the political aspect, going way back into the natural Babylon back there. He is a three-in-one of this thing. Now, he's a symbol of the man-child that will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Christ's regime must be antitype before he comes. And this is an antitype of it. And the Bible said that when this great man-child was born into the world, that the red dragon was waiting to devour the child. Is that right? The Pope of Rome is that man-child. You know what hates the Catholics? I predicted that Khrushchev and the Pope of Rome had come together, and he did, you remember. But they're not going to mix. They're not going to mix together. Because history shows that communists have actually taken priests and buried them alive. They hate them with a passion. They hate them because Russia or communist that is, believes that they ought to rule the world. And they know that the Pope of Rome, or Catholic religion, believes in church over state. So no matter how great communism got, the Catholic religion, which is the most powerful religion in the world, would automatically still feel that there should be over them. So they hate the thing. They hate it. And they bury priests alive. Communist China, communism, getting down to where the dragon is in its symbol. Communism, waiting for the man-child to come forth so that it can devour the man-child. Just waiting to get him. That's what communists would like to do. Waiting to get him just as quick as he comes forth. Is that right? The Bible said that he was caught up to the throne of God. Isn't that right? Did you know that politically speaking, that religion is denied in every political endeavor, almost. When they made the trip up to the moon, do you think that the Protestants got in on it? But there was one fellow that got in on it. There's one fellow that got in on it because the Bible said that he was caught up to the throne. Out of all of them that wanted to say their little speech, nobody got control of it but the papacy of Rome. And today you can read his little piece. And it's absolutely astounding when you read it. If you take it and read it, I've read it. And if you read it, it magnifies him and puts him in control of everything. That's what it does. He got in there. I don't know how he did it, but he got in there. He was caught up. I said that. I ain't going to get to say much tonight, folks. But I said that to try to get a point over. China, the red dragon, waiting to devour the man-child. Where? Where did the man-child come from? Mary? Wasn't that the mother? Here's the land of Mary. Is that right? And where did it come from? The virgin. Isn't that right? The man-child. And said the red dragon waited to get it. It said that the red dragon wrapped his tail around a third part of the stars. And you can check this out in Revelation and see if it's right. I said, well, you got that out of your head. Well, I'll tell you what. I want to try to answer them. Anyway, here's China. The red dragon is waiting for the man-child, trying to get the man-child. And the strange thing about it is, when you run this revelation, you go to the eastern part of the world. And that's heaven. See, when you're running your natural pilgrimage, and that's what I've been trying to get over. If I sound haughty, I don't mean to be haughty. I'm just talking loud because that's the only way I know to do. Coming from the eastern world of the eastern empire, moving over, it's a natural, intellectual pilgrimage of conquest. And when you come through the natural, then that makes the land of Israel heaven back there. That makes it heaven. Because there has to be a type on earth. And we know that Jerusalem is a type of heaven because the Bible speaks of New Jerusalem. So we know that it is on earth and that God's Jews is a type of those spiritual Jews, heavenly Jews. Wow, there's so much in that. That really makes you want to teach Revelation. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is the Bible said the red dragon wrapped his tail around the stars up in heaven. But I believe this, and I might be wrong, but this is what I believe, what God has let me know. Those stars that fell from heaven are wandering stars. Stars without light. You say, how do you get that? Because, this might sound a little comical, but if we're speaking of a red dragon's tail, if he wrapped it around The spiritual stars of God, he wouldn't have no tail anymore. That's right. You let him mess with the sun up here and get close to it, and that'll be the end of it. That's right. That's the same way the devil is. You let him get close to God or get close to the Son of God, and that's the end of him. So then he wrapped it around the stars that didn't have any light. Wandering stars. And I'm persuaded to believe this great communistic dragon that's spreading himself out, Brother Grady, coming around like this, wrapping himself around the different nations and different powers as he comes. I believe that one of the greatest accomplishments of his is reviling the white race through the Negro race. Because Negroes, though they're just as much Christians as anybody is, but they can't help their type. And their type, though it be the type of the church in one aspect, which is the spirit on the inside in bondage, life in bondage to the brown body, robbed of the opportunities of many people. Yet in the other aspect, it's a symbol of evil spirits. It's a symbol of darkness. They're not people of light, as is the white people in their type. Now you say, well, Brother Packner, that sounds like you respect a person. I know if some colored people heard the tape, they'd say, well, now it shows him one-sided. He's for the white people. That's foolishness.
Amen.
God's not one-sided. Whereas the Negro might represent the darkness because of his allegoric pattern, yet the white man represents the brute beast, which God hates. So what's the difference? Brother Branham used to say, Brother Joe, six of one and half a dozen of the other. It's the same thing. So nobody's got anything to boast of. The Bible said there'll be no flesh boasting the sight of God. Every one of them's in bad shape. So then it's not a preeminence. It's just teaching things the way that God laid it out.
Amen.
So then it means that Satan, the communistic power, is going to take advantage of the ignorance of people, and especially the Negro people. They're going to work through them, and those stars that are in the heavens back over there are going to come down. Tell me this. Why is it that China is a yellow nation? Why is it that Japan is a yellow nation? And why is it that Japan is called the land of the rising sun? Why is that? Are you following me what I'm saying? See, it's a heaven back over there. Brother Zell, there's black folks back over there. There's white people back over there. All kind of people back over there. But if you separate them and categorize them in the right place, you'll see it just as plain as the day. I'm not smart enough to do it, but God can do it. That's why I say y'all could be head and shoulders above me. Because these things are over there to be seen. Now then, this natural pilgrimage that I'm trying to get across here, and that's why I went through all these stages, the primitive part of it to get to this. In coming from the east to the west, the natural civilization of the sunrise from the east and setting in the west. See, it comes out like this in its natural types. It comes out like this. That is the natural pilgrimage of it, children of God. That is life within the veil coming over. So that makes it the natural Jew. But you know what a convertible is, don't you? In the day we're living in, they got reversible coats, they say. You reverse it, and you put it back like it was. Everything being a tie. Now, if this is in the veil, we say, well, that's the right way it goes. No, it's not. In the garden, it was the right way, but the devil reversed it. So then when we get over here, in the western part of the United States, what do we need to do? Take it out of the veil or reverse it. Then it's the spiritual pilgrimage as it goes back to the east. Then where does that put heaven? Where does that put heaven? That puts it over here. Now, somebody's going to wait just a minute. Well, if Pagabat puts it over here, then does that make it spiritual? Or it's got to be another coming. That's going to wind up the intellectual part of it. That's why Antichrist is going to sit there. That's the political part of it. But still, you remember, you're dealing with types. And the Pope is the real, genuine type of the man-child. And the Catholic religion, the word Catholic being universal, really is the genuine type of the church. So it's got to triumph. The types has got to triumph. And it will triumph and victoriously to show Christ. That's why the villain always loses, even in the movies. It's got to do it. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. The types has even set up that if anybody's in that type, well, this is like the rich man. What is a rich man? He's a type of the sons of God. How many of you know that's right? The rich man is a type of the sons of God. This sister probably will make the Negro feel better. What is the poor people a type of? Can you tell me? Devils. Sure, go out there, put a bunch of men out here on in a building project and watch them sip on the liquor and cuss and chew and spit and grumble and fuss and fight and lie and cheat. And that's what they do. They have to follow their type. Brother Joe, I don't believe anybody can be any filthier than a bunch of folks working around out there on the housing projects. Brother Zell works out there. That's the truth. It's because of their types. It's because of their types. They can't help it. It's because of their types. They're the baser sort as far as the world's concerned. See, they don't have any riches, so they just cuss the man out of Asgard. They work and say, so and so, he got, well, in other words, you just be the contractor. You let the other little fella get down there, and he'll chew on his cud, and he'll spit, and he'll cuss, and he'll fuss, and he'll say, that fella's making all the green, as he says it back here, and here we are doing all the dirty work. That's the way he looks at it. But I'm glad the Lord said that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm glad that they're only a type of it. And those big, beautiful mansions that you see, that's only a type. Because he said the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before the others, the religious and the celebrities. These men working on the jobs of the poor, they're the poor people grumbling and got problems, cursing and fighting and swindling, whoremongers and liars and adulterers and cheats. They are a symbol of what the great church rejects. They are considered the rejects. While the rich man is considered that which is accepted by society because it's a type of God's doings. But when it's reversed, then the rich man is the one that God's really going to show up. He's the one that's really causing the trouble. He's the one that does 10 times as bad as the man that chews the cud and spits. Because he's doing all of his filth undercover. He's got it covered up in society. Rotten, slap rotten to the core and stinks. That's when the Bible says to warn the rich. I don't mean that no rich folks can't be saved. There are rich folks that can be saved. But not very many of them. The Bible said, how hardly shall they that have riches. Not many great educated men are going to be called. As a matter of fact, when you consider the whole thing, few there be that find it of anybody. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the path. Few there be that find it. So then, I said all of that to try to say this. It's symbols and types. This is a pilgrimage coming from the eastern world, going over to the western world, and that is in the veil. That is in the veil. If you're cold, you can turn that heater on back there. Is it out of kerosene? Well, I'll try to close. Now then, here is the Western world. And the trend of it is within the veil. So we see this one thing, that it being in the veil, it has to be reversed to go back to the Eastern world. I'm going to close right there because I see the children getting restless. The mothers look at me with a loaning like they wished I'd shut up when the babies get restless. So I'm going to shut up. Now, I appreciate your interest tonight, and I wish I could say more. It just takes so long to say so little. Maybe it's just because I'm uneducated and don't know how to use my words. But anyway, it just takes me so long to say so little. Now, I praise God tonight for every one of you. I thank God for you coming out. And I hope that in my countrified expression, a way of expressing myself, and Paul said, we're rude in speech. My speech is very rude. He said, but I'm not rude in knowledge. So then, if I be rude in speech, you forgive me of the rudeness of my speech and understand my knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I do this that you might understand the knowledge of the Lord. So, I'm trying my best to make this plain, trying to help you as I go along. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. The reason that we are no further along with the Lord than we are is because we feel like that we're so far along with the Lord that we've never got this far along. Now that if we can realize just where we're living and soberly think of ourselves, brothers and sisters, then we can go somewhere with the Lord. When the church does one thing, when it says I'm naked, miserable, wretched. So tonight, that's the way I feel. I need God. I need help. I need all that I can give. Let's stand together. Forgive me for my rudeness. I beg your pardon and forgiveness for it. And I ask you to pray for me and help me all that you can. Let's bow our heads in just a word of prayer. Praise God. Brother Zell, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?